Praise the Lord, everybody. That's very weak. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. All right. Now that sounds better, okay? Listen, you know, in case you didn't understand, you can, if you haven't pre-registered, you can still go out there after service and you can register, get ahead of the crowd tomorrow. Or if you're on the watching and you want to get down here, you can still come. You can still register all the way through Saturday afternoon, I guess, if you want to. But but you're going to miss everything. Now, that Saturday night service, I understand, is pretty good. I don't know. Never been there. Somebody asked me, said, are you going? I said, nope. Miss Lynette, I just leave her alone. This week, she's in Kindle mode, and I just leave her alone. How many of y'all husbands know what I'm talking about? I got a lot of company then. All right. You know, sometimes we get under pressure. Things are happening, circumstances, situations. And really, sometimes you don't know really what to do. So, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Anybody ever been in a situation seeming like that or similar to it? You know, the enemy will use anything he can to put pressure on us to get us out of receiving all of the blessings of God. I mean, he'll use flesh, he'll use world systems, accusations, temptations, all kinds of pressure things to try to get us so we are not receiving all the blessings of God that belong to us. You know, turn to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin with that verse. Now it's talking about after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, that He was in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. He had been there fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. Verse 3, now when the tempter had come to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up unto the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, the devil was quoting scripture, okay? Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him upon an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came to minister to him. Now, I want you to notice something here that proves that the devil is the God of this world. He's in charge of this world. He could not give him something he didn't have. And he said, he showed him out and said, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. In other words, the kingdom and so forth and so on. And in fact, Paul calls him in 2 Corinthians 4:4, calls him the God of this world. So many people don't understand. They think God's in control down here. No, God's not in control down here. The devil's in control of the world. No, he's not in control of any of us that are born again. Okay, how many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, some people can't wonder how come all the calamities and all that stuff. Well, the reason is because what does the Bible say about the devil? Come on, tell me. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Is that what all of the mess that's going on is? That's what it is. Come on now. See, all you got to do is just use your head. Now, let's see what Jesus did in this pressure situation and how he successfully dealt with it. Now, here I want you to understand something. Many people do not understand this. For the first 33 years or 33 and a half years, whichever chronological report you want to go by, because I've seen several of them studying in Bible college, I've seen, he operated on earth as a man. A human being, in other words, just like we are. That's why he could be the supreme sacrifice, because the devil can't contaminate him like he did Adam. Now, he died as the Son of God. And people do not understand that. And so when he is dealing with this pressure situation of the enemy tempting him, he dealt with it successfully. You know, something interesting, I want you to notice that this happened to him right after his experience at the Jordan River, where he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and descended on him, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son, beloved Son, whom I well please." And then he had a 40-day experience with God. And now the enemy comes. Have any of you ever had a real tremendous experience, spiritual experience with God, and then all of a sudden you hit with something? That seems like when the devil wants to hit you the worst. You know, after having a tremendous time with the Lord, it seems like all hell breaks loose. Now, you know, the devil comes in and he tries to tell you you can't receive from God. This was great experience you just had, but now you better cherish that, because that's the last one you're ever going to get. Then another thing he comes in and tries to do, he tries to get you to blaming God for your problem. And then he comes in and says, "Well, now, if you're a good enough Christian, that wouldn't have happened to you." Anybody ever had that one? I see some hands. He comes in trying to push you so that you will begin to doubt your experience with God. And the minute that happens, you lose all the blessings of God that are supposed to come your way. Now, how did he do this? How did he deal with this pressure? First of all, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. It is written. Now, you can't speak the word if you don't know it. That's why it is so important to know the word. In fact, the psalmist said, "I hid the word in my heart, said I might not sin against you." It's the word inside of you that keeps you from succumbing to temptation and so forth and so on. You know, speaking the word engaged the supernatural power of God on his behalf. Speaking the word will engage the supernatural power of God on your behalf. Now, how could Jesus speak the word? Well, all you got to do is do a little study. Of course, I've done it, and some of you have too. As a Jewish boy growing up, he learned the Pentateuch. Now you say, what is that? That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And probably also, he was familiar with the Psalms and the Proverbs, because the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. That's what the Psalms was. So from an early age, he knew the Word of God. Now, he also had some recognition or some knowing of Isaiah, because in Luke 4, when he went into the temple, he picked up the book of Isaiah and he said, "The Lord has anointed me." Oh, that went cross grain with his Jewish leaders, and that upset traditional church people. See, if the word never gets off of the pages of your Bible or off of the screen of your whatever device you've got, it won't work for you. It has to get into you, and then it has to get out of you. As I was talking about, I think it's Sunday, I was talking about getting it in and getting it out. There's a lot of people get the word in, but they never know how to get it out, so they get taken advantage of by the devil. You can know the word, but if you don't get the word out, the devil will still take advantage of you, even though you know the word, even though you have the word. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, you have to spend time putting the word in order to deal successfully with the pressures of life that will come your direction. You know, it seems that we understand what we have to do to learn how to run a new program on a computer. We spend time learning it. We spent time, and I go to this all the time because it's one of the best ones that I know. We spend time in the classroom and at home going over and over and over and over and over and over again something called the multiplication table. How many of you ever spent hours going over the multiplication table? Why? So you would know it. But now you spent so much time with that till it became a part of you. It's still a part of you. And some of you studied it years ago, like me. I mean, I graduated from high school 50 years ago. About what? 56 years ago. Or 58, maybe it was. Yeah, I guess it would be almost. But anyway, today, I know what 7 times 7 is. 9 times 9. Hello? 12 times 12. Y'all didn't answer it that quick. You shouldn't even have had to think about it. So how many of you had it? You just didn't say it. It immediately came. Why does it come to you? Because you put it in you until it became a part of you. We have got to put this word in us until it becomes a part of us. And then when the devil begins to squeeze us down out of us, instead of coming, "Oh my God, what am I going to do now?" out of us starts coming the Word of God. The Word starts coming when you get squeezed. You know, if I had a sponge here and I have water here and oil here, if I put that in the sponge, I mean, put it in the water and I squeeze it, the water come out. If I put it in the oil and squeeze it, the oil come out. Whatever is in you, when the devil starts to squeeze you with life, whatever's in you is going to come out. You can tell what people have been studying or not studying when the devil starts to squeeze them down. Hello. Now, Jesus maintained his priorities. He said, "You don't tempt God." In essence, you know, verse 7 there is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. In essence, what he is saying there, don't test your relationship with God. See, in the wilderness, the Israelites tested God so much that he started to cut them off. And in fact, he would have if it hadn't been for Moses. Because they had tempted God so much that God went down there and he told Moses, he said, listen, I am going to wipe these people off of the face of the earth. And Moses began to say, now, wait a minute, God, you can't do that. Go read it. Then they'll know that you weren't able to take care of your people. That's in essence what he said, if you'll read it. And God said, okay, Moses, all right. Now, Moses got so upset with them. He went to God and he said, God, take these people out of here. And God said to Moses, now, wait a minute, Moses, back up just a minute. Now, I mean, I'm saying it in this, but God, how many of you read that in the Old Testament about the children of Israel? It's there. See, you've got to stay focused with your relationship with God and don't let anything cause your relationship with God to be endangered. Anything. He said in verse 10, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Make sure God's number one. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The pressure is starting to come on, we Christians. We're either going to worship the Lord thy God and serve him only, or we're going to compromise because of what the government's saying or what somebody else is saying or whatever. I mean, it's the truth. Now, don't sit there and look at me like that. A lot of people are really upset. Oh, man, blah, 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 blah. You know, you see it on the Facebook and everything. All you got to do is go read the Bible. The Bible says in the last days it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Does it not? When it's talking about the last days. I've been telling you for a couple of years now that we're entering the last days. I told my wife whenever the first desert storm took place, the first one, I said, we just began the end of the end. This is the starting of the end. Because that's where it's all going to take place. That's what's happening right now. You go read what the Word of God says. You see what's coming. You see how that they're coming out against especially here where they're coming out against the things of God. People are compromising. People are trying to be politically correct. Are you going to be politically correct or are you going to be Bible correct? That's where it's coming to. See, we got to maintain our right priorities. We got to continue to worship God, even if they tell us that we can't. There's some of the countries that they do that today in. They've told them they're not supposed to worship, but they do it anyway. Come on. We have to get back to the real basics of the Word of God. If you played any kind of organized sport, one of the first things they do every year when I was in high school, they still do it today. I noticed I saw some of my grandsons practicing football the other day. One of the first things they do is you go back to the basics because it's the basics that wins your game. It's the proper stance. Every position, it's a proper stance. It's the basics of blocking and tackling. The basics of shooting or swinging the bat. There's a basics for all of that. The footwork, everything that's involved. We need to get back to the basics of the Word of God. God said, I am Lord Jehovah God. There will be no other gods before you. Do not compromise. Come on. I'm paraphrasing what the Bible said, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. We either are with God or we're not with God. I mean, it's that simple. Some people say, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go with the Word of God. I said, the Bible tells me what to do. Paul told us there in Romans, go read Romans, go down about the first chapter of Romans, down about that 15th, 16th verse down there and start reading. He tells you exactly what the world's going to come to, and it's come to that, exactly what he said right there. Come on now. We might as well, where I come from, shuck the corn down. That means getting down to bare thing. You see, your daily routine is what will keep you focused on the right priorities of the Word of God. That's why you hear us and others say you need to spend some time in prayer and with the Word every day, because that will help you stay with the right priorities and stay focused. In fact, one person said your success is hidden in your daily routine. That's not only true spiritually, that's true in the natural. Your success at losing weight and working out is hidden in your daily routine.
You don't have to go
there. My wife said I don't have to go there. Well, my success is not very good because my daily routine in this area is not good. Now, I got a better routine for this area, for the spiritual area. How many of you got a better routine in the spiritual area than doing the natural area? Come on. All right. Now, hey, I'm getting through quick tonight. Anybody getting anything?
Amen.
All right. Thirdly, the way Jesus dealt with this situation of the pressures on him. You see, we get in, the pressure gets on us, we don't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. We do what Jesus did. He used his authority. He used his authority. When did the devil leave him alone? After he told him to get. Hello. Verse 10, away from me, Satan. Then the devil left him. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from the prayer group. Resist the devil and he will flee from the preacher. Resist the devil and he will flee from the real good Christian. What does it say? Resist the devil and he will what?
Flee.
From who?
Flee.
You is what the Bible said, but you can say, resist the devil and he will flee from me. Now that word flee is an interesting word. If you look it up, you'll find out that it means to run from, as in terror. That means he will run from you as if he was scared to death, as we would say. Down in Texas, where I come from. Hello. Resist the devil and he will flee from me. Me. See, we need to get a hold of the fact that we have the authority. Hello. See, as soon as he used his authority, the devil took off. Go to John 16. John 16. Go down there about to the 23rd verse. Okay. Got it? And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Now he's talking about the day when he won't be there anymore. And then he's talking to the disciples, and this is for us. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now look what he said. Until now, you have not asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Now, I want you to notice that he is saying that we ask in his name. Our authority is in the name of Jesus. With the name of Jesus, actually, we might say it this way. We have been given the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. Power of attorney means that you can speak for somebody. You can sign for somebody. I was given, when Dad went home to be with the Lord, the document said that I was in charge of taking care of Mom and everything, and that I was given the power of attorney so that I could use the money to take care of her and so forth and so on. Pay bills, pay taxes, the whole thing. Okay? I had the power of attorney. Hello? How many understand that? That means you can speak and act in their behalf. Actually, it means that even though you're speaking, it's as if they were speaking. Is that not correct? Whoa, look at that. This means that when you begin to use your authority that he gave to us right here, he said, ask in my name. That means that when we ask the Father for it, it's the same thing as Jesus asking him. You know, somebody else might ask my dad back when I was a teenager to use the car. He said, no, if I go up and ask him, he said, okay, here, he throw me the keys. Why? Because I'm his son. But now, my buddy, he came over and he said, listen, Ken said that you would let me use the car. Oh, okay. Because, see, it's as if I'm asking. What we need to realize, when we're using the name of Jesus, it's the same thing as Jesus asking the Father. He said right here, in my name, he'd give it to you. Didn't he know what that about? Isn't that what it said? Hello, come on. The name of Jesus is the highest authority that you can use against the devil. That's why it's so important to always end your prayer in Jesus' name. That's why it's important to say in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the highest authority available to we Christians. The name of Jesus is above every name, every force that exists. I like to say it like this. The name of Jesus cannot be defeated. Amen. The name of Jesus is the greatest force against any pressure or anything that will come against you. Hello. Remember, Jesus made it through this situation because he spoke the word, he maintained his priority with God, and he used his authority. So the next time that you find yourself being overwhelmed, going through a situation, you need to say, in the name of Jesus, I will come through this situation. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am a victor in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus. Therefore, this thing cannot defeat me. That's what we need to do. That's what to do when you don't know what to do when you're in the pressure cooker. You know, most of the modern people don't know nothing about a pressure cooker, but my grandma used to have one. I was a little boy, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. And she'd be cooking something, and she'd say, "Son, that relief valve on that pressure cooker hadn't went off in a little bit. Go over there and punch it a little bit, pop it back." And you go over there and you hit it and it start going, psh, 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 psh. Because she knew the pressure was building up too much. And if it built up too much, we're going to have blowed up chicken or what, roast or whatever was in there all over the kitchen. How many know what I'm talking about? But you see, when I would go over there and I would hit that little deal on the top, you know, it's a little round there. You just, all you got to do is barely touch it. And it, psh, psh, it let it, hey, that's what happened when you're in a pressure situation. Jesus. 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 Starts letting the pressure out pretty soon. There ain't no pressure left. See, you don't want to let too much pressure off. If you do, then they ain't going to work. That's just like, you know, at my house, I'm on well, and I got a little gauge out there in pump house and so forth, and it's a pressure gauge. And if I got that thing turned up where it's too much pressure, it's going to blow my lines. But if I don't have enough pressure, then I can't take a shower. Now, I might get some water dribbling out, but it's not going to be enough to take a shower with. But if I set that valve right where it's setting, right on what it's supposed to set on, no problem whatsoever. That's what we need to do. Take the name of Jesus and set the pressure so that anything we face, we're going to walk through it. Like a hot knife, a cut through cold butter. Hallelujah. Let me understand that one. You know, I never have figured out, they bring you some really nice rolls at the restaurant. They're warm, they're hot. They give you some butter that you can't even cut with the knife. How many understand what I'm talking about? And you spend all your time trying to cook, get that butter, and by the time you get it, and your rolls done got cold, it won't even melt the butter. Everybody stand, please. Did you get something out of this tonight? Yes. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we spoke tonight, that people would understood what I was trying to get across to them so that they can work their way through life and have it more abundantly like you want them to, so that they can destroy the devil that's trying to destroy them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the ladies are here, the guys are over on this side, come to the front. As soon as we're dismissed, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need to rededicate your life to God, if you need to have, you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ, you need a know-so experience, come down here and pray with us. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, if you come here, they'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Connection team, find those first-time guests, our local first-time guests. I know we got a lot of other first-time guests. Thank you for being here. So glad to have you with us. Tomorrow night, y'all starting your women's conference. Miss Lynette is all primed and ready to go. It's going to be a great conference. You that are visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. You found it right here. Just come and join us. We have a great time. The Rhema family just serving God unlimited because there's no limits on God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Don't forget, ladies, the ladies' conference tomorrow starts tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday. Hey, guys, they could use some help on Friday and Saturday as serving the dinner meal. So, hey, I know that they already have signed up, but we can use all the help we can get. I'll be over there trying to do what I can. All right. But, hey, and then Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible right here. I'm finishing up the end series, And it's really good. So come expect to turn around and shake hands with somebody. Say, I don't know about you, but I know what to do when the pressure's on. God bless. We'll see you. See you right here, ladies, for the conference. If you haven't registered, you can go register. If you've registered and you haven't picked up your stuff, you can go out there and do it right now. Everybody else, we'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless.